Puss in Boots. When the old miller died, he left his mill to his eldest son, his house to his second son, and a sleek cat called Puss to his youngest son, Jack. The two older brothers were very content, but Jack looked sadly at the cat and said, "Well, you're not good for much, are you?" "Oh, I wouldn't say that," said the cat with a wink of his green eye. "Give me a pair of boots and knapsack, and I may even bring you luck." There was obviously something to be said for a cat that could talk. So Jack took him to the leather shop, and Puss chose a pair of tall, yellow, cavalier boots and knapsack. As soon as he had put the boots on, he was off. "I suppose that's the last I'll see of him," thought Jack. "And I spent nearly all my money on those boots. What a fool I am." Meanwhile, out in the fields, the cat planted a long row of lettuces and placed the last lettuce in the open knapsack. Then he lay down beside the bag like the deadest cat you ever saw. Before long, a rabbit bobbed across the field and nibbled its way, lettuce by lettuce, towards the knapsack. As it reached the last lettuce, Puss drew the cords of the knapsack over it with a snatch of his paw. Then he hurried off with it to the palace of the King of Zabarak. "My master sends you this tiny gift," said Puss, presenting the rabbit and bowing so low that his whiskers touched his boots. "He hopes soon to offer you much richer fare at his castle." The King of Zabarak raised an eyebrow and thought, "What a remarkably courteous cat." Next day, Puss went to the field again and laid a trail of corn leading to the foot of a big oak tree. Then he hid in the branches. Two pheasants pecked their way to the foot of the tree, and Puss leapt down, his knapsack open wide. He was soon back at the palace of Zabarak, where he presented the two pheasants to the king. "My master sends you this small present," said Puss, bowing so low that his furry forehead touched his boots. "He hopes to dine you royally at his own castle very soon." The king raised both eyebrows and said,
"Who is your master, Pussycat?"
"Why, the Marquis of Carabas."
"Well, please take this small bag of gold back to your master as a token of my thanks, and say that my daughter and I will dine with him tomorrow. Now, will you give me directions to his castle?"
Puss in Boots scampered off with the money and bought himself a fine cavalier's hat with ostrich plumes and a red ribbon. In the morning, he went home to his master.
"Where have you been?" snapped Jack. "I haven't eaten for 2 days. I warn you, cat meat would taste very good."
The cat waved an impatient paw. "Do as I tell you, and by tonight you will be dressed in the clothes of a marquis and be dining in a castle of your very own. But what you need now is a bath." And he took Jack to a nearby river. "Take off your clothes and jump in." Grumbling and shivering, Jack did as he was told.
"It's dreadfully cold, and I don't see how it's going to get me a castle."
But Puss did not listen. He was busy burying Jack's raggedy clothes. Then he was off to the road to wave down the king's coach.
"Help! Help! My master is drowning! The marquis was attacked by thieves, and they took all his clothes and threw him into the river. Help! Oh, help!"
The king, of course, sent all his coachmen to rescue such an important person, and he insisted on giving Jack his own ermine cloak.
"Climb in, Marquis. I was just on my way to your castle to dine with you."
Now this should have puzzled Jack, but he had just caught sight of the king's daughter and could think of nothing but sitting with her in the coach. Nobody noticed that Puss in Boots did not get into the coach. He ran off towards a distant castle On the way, he met some reapers cutting the corn.
Let me warn you, friends, hissed Puss. The evil Marquis of Carabas is coming. If you don't tell him this land is his, he'll cut you to pieces for certain.
Moments later, the king's coach passed, and the king leaned out of the window.
Who owns these fields?
The Marquis of Carabas, said the reapers.
The king was most impressed. Meanwhile, Puss in Boots had run on another 5 miles before meeting a man ploughing.
Let me warn you, friend, panted Puss. The murderous Marquis of Carabas is coming. Unless you tell him this land is his, he'll cut you to pieces for certain.
Minutes later, the king's coach passed. The king leaned out to ask the ploughman.
Who owns this field?
The Marquis of Carabas, said the ploughman, bowing very low.
The king was most impressed and sat back in the coach.
What vast lands you have, young man.
But Jack was not listening. He was staring deep into the eyes of the princess, and she was gazing into his. Meanwhile, Puss in Boots reached the gates of the castle. It really belonged to a terrible ogre who ate everybody in sight. And it was he who owned all the surrounding fields.
Greetings, said Puss to the ogre. I've travelled 1,000 miles to visit you because I've heard that you can turn yourself into all kinds of animals. Tell me, is it true?
The ogre, who had been dangling Puss by the tail over his open mouth, smiled smugly.
Of course it's true. I'm a very remarkable ogre.
What? Can you even turn yourself into a lion?
Of course I can.
And seconds later, Puss was being chased over the roofs and battlements of the castle by the ogre, who had turned himself into a ferocious lion. Finally, Puss hid up a chimney and called,
Very clever, but I bet you can't become a mouse.
Of course I can, roared the lion. I'm a very remarkable lion, ogre.
And with a lot of puffing and grunting, the ogre turned himself into a mouse. Then, with a crunch and a swallow, Puss in Boots ate the mouse ogre and so captured the entire castle and estate for his master. And who should arrive a few minutes later but the king, the princess, and Jack? Puss opened the gates to them.
I've prepared a meal for your highness, he said, bowing until the feathers of his hat swept the ground.
And they all ate the ogre's dinner, which was delicious and quite enough for four. But the king had to talk to Puss all meal long because the princess and Jack were so busy gazing lovingly into each other's eyes. When the king could catch Jack's attention, he dubbed him Sir Jack of Carabas so that he could marry the princess. That made everyone happy. Puss in Boots became Sir Puss, the Mouse Catcher Imperial. But since the ogre had eaten all the mice in the castle, he never had to do another day's work in his life.